What a wonderful hymn that is. Well, I get to finish my sermon this afternoon. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to bring a few things here at the Lord's Supper that I was not able to finish this morning. You know, when you work on messages all week and you change it at the last couple of days, it tends to be rough and too long and things like that. You won't do too much. So at least gives me an opportunity to finish some things was not able to do this morning. In Ephesians 5:20, Paul teaches clearly that the Spirit-filled life includes and is evidenced by always giving thanks on behalf of all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. We looked this morning and saw that this is a command to obey, and it is also something that you have to have a theology to practice. You have to believe that God is almighty and good and all-powerful, that He is all-wise and at work in every single thing in the universe, that He has a purpose for everything in our lives, either to bring us to Christ or, having come to Christ, to make us like Him. And we're to think like that in the big picture all the time so that we can think straight about the little things that come our way. The people, the situations, the difficulties and trials that God permits in our life. He has a purpose in all these things. And part of our faith and trust in Him, in His character, in His wisdom, His goodness, is to look at the cross of Christ, which is given such a wonderful picture here at the Lord's Supper, and believe that this God, who was so wise and good and almighty to accomplish this work of redemption for my soul, I can trust in everything. So Christian growth is a process of capturing every corner of our heart and every thought for Christ, of thinking from the perspective of God's faithfulness, God's goodness, God's almighty power over everything, that He has a purpose. And this command, always giving thanks in all things in the name of Jesus Christ, even to God the Father, is meant to stir up our faith. It is meant to challenge our faith, to think clearly about God. It is a command to obey every day, because it says always. It is a command to obey all the time every day, because it says always. And it covers absolutely every instance of our life, because it says giving thanks on behalf of all things. And we saw this morning that includes everything. And so we come to understand that our calling as a Christian is to learn to give thanks, and in the process give praise and honor and glory to God in our thanksgiving, and to develop a thankful heart. There is a truth that the Bible teaches that we need to understand. We will never fully understand God's purposes about everything in our lives. There are 1,000 things a day that you may not even think about that God has a purpose in, that you may not and do not understand. There are things that you may think about during the day that you're saying, I wonder why this happened or happened this way or why now. And God has a purpose. I almost had a wreck yesterday. Scared me to death. I was getting a little irritated while I was waiting on service coming back from Baton Rouge at Baskins and Robbins, which tells you another one of my secrets. If I had not been delayed by that purchase, I would have rear-ended someone who stopped in the middle of the road without any brake lights. Now I understand, but I didn't in Baskins and Robbins. And our lives are like that. That's why God calls us to have faith in Him. I ran across a good quote from one of the commentators while I was studying this passage. And he said, "At the close of life and in heaven, we shall see occasion to bless God for all His dealings with us. We shall see that we have not suffered one pang too much or been required to perform one duty too severe. We shall see that all our afflictions as well as our mercies were designed for our good and were needful for us. Why then should we not bless God in the furnace as well as in the palace? On a bed of pain as well as on a bed of down. In want as well as when sitting down at the splendid banquet. God knows what is best for us. And the way in which He leads us, mysterious though it may seem to us now, will yet be seen to have been full of goodness and mercy. Until that day, God calls us to look to Jesus Christ risen from the dead and remember His cross, where we find that God has been faithful to us, has a purpose in trial and suffering, brings good out of evil, and always knows what He's doing, even when the hands of godless men are involved. And it is by our faith and trust in this God who has sent His Son into this world that our faith grows to face the things that we encounter in this life and actually always give thanks on behalf of all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's Supper is an interesting time to talk about thanksgiving, because the word for thanksgiving in the New Testament is Eucharistos. And the word for giving thanks is Eucharisteo. And the early church gave the name of the Lord's Supper in the second century, Eucharist, because it was meant to be a celebration of thanksgiving, sober though it may be that our Lord had to suffer upon the cross for our sins, yet by His death we have every reason to give thanks to God, every reason to worship Him. He has never dealt with us according to our sins and our iniquities. And as a believer, redeemed by the blood of Christ, our life has been redeemed to be a life that He has planned to bring glory to Him. There are some ways that we bring glory to God when we give thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ. First, it brings glory and honor to God the Father to give Him thanks because it pleases Him. In heaven, it will not be hard to give thanks, because we'll not have to fight selfishness and self-centeredness and remaining unbelief anymore. But now it brings honor to God for weak creatures of faith to look through all the gloom of this world and see the blessings in Jesus Christ that we have and give thanks. It brings glory to God, honor to the one who sent His Son on our behalf, and it pleases Him. And when we overcome doubt and worry and fear and anger in our hearts and give thanks to God, always on behalf of all things, we bring God glory by putting sin to death, putting to death just one more evil in this world, and putting on faith in Jesus Christ. And that brings honor to God and pleasure to Him when we give thanks. When we make ourselves give thanks to God, we develop a stronger fellowship with Him, a walking fellowship with God, because we're putting aside the worries of this world to choose Him as our comfort, our refuge, our strength, our hope. Thanksgiving begins by the exercise of faith in the truth. But in God's great wisdom, giving thanks by faith increases the strength of our own faith. And when we grow in giving thanks, we stand out at home, at school, at work, as a witness in this fallen and cynical and complaining and grumbling world that the God who has made all things is still living. And something has happened to our hearts that is different from theirs. And that Jesus Christ is real and risen from the dead and able to change human nature and teach it how to be loving instead of hateful, forgiving instead of attacking others, thoughtful and self-denying and sacrificing instead of selfish and grasping. Hearts that give thanks for all things instead of complaining and grumbling, being impatient and angry, stand out. And they may mock you at work or at school for being this way, of having a thankful spirit. But deep down, they're watching. They're watching to see if you really believe this. Because if they can knock down your thankfulness and bring enough opposition and persecution to destroy your faith, they don't have to practice it themselves. Giving thanks always on behalf of all things tells others that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and they need him too. We didn't go into it this morning, but there's a connection in the rest of the book of Ephesians to this call to give thanks at all times on behalf of all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the connection is especially with those that are called by God to be subject to others as their heads and leaders. Giving thanks in all things enables wives to overcome fear and stubbornness, to be subject to their husbands in all things as unto the Lord. If you have to give thanks for your husband to God, it changes your attitude toward him. It is giving thanks in all things that enables children to overcome self-interest and stubbornness and self-will, to obey their parents in all things as unto the Lord. If you have to give thanks for your parents to God, you're admitting that he's given them to you and you have to honor them. It is in giving thanks that servants overcome frustration and anger and pride about their masters and find strength to be obedient to their masters instead of grumbling and complaining and deceiving them. Because if you have to give thanks for your master, you have to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to honor him and do what he commands as to the Lord. Giving thanks for all persons, in all situations, in all things, changes us. It enables a church, a group of God's people, to dwell in peace with each other to be able to put behind themselves instances of thoughtlessness or outright sin against each other. Because it's hard to be angry and unforgiving when you have to thank God for His grace in Christ and for this brother who has been purchased by the same blood. So when we come to the Lord's Supper, the very heart of thanksgiving is before us. That God has given us this supper to remember Jesus Christ and what He has done for us, and to give thanks. And also to recognize that we all are saved by the same body broken and the same blood shed, and that God has actually, before the foundation of the world, planned for these people to live together eternally as the children of God. Which means we must give thanks for each other now, and in the process, love one another as Christ loves them. Forgive one another as Christ has forgiven us. And serve one another as He called us to. So we come to the Lord's Supper this afternoon with thanksgiving. I think the second century church looked at the Lord's Supper and said, you know what? We have a lot to give thanks for. Let's call it the Eucharist. And I call you to give thanks this afternoon as you take this supper to remind you of the love of God in Jesus Christ, the completeness of His salvation, the future that He's laid up for us, and the comfort that we're to derive from all of that, so that we can learn to praise God and bring glory to Him by the way we give thanks today. Let us pray together. Lord, help us to understand the completeness and unity of the Bible, that it is all about the Lord Jesus Christ, that He has come in fulfillment of all the Old Testament promises and prophecies to redeem us from our sins, to grant us eternal life, to cleanse us of all the filth and unrighteousness that dwells in our minds and hearts, and to present us spotless before You, Father, covered with the righteousness of Christ. We thank You for this complete salvation and ask that You would help us to give thanks as we partake of the Lord's Supper this afternoon, and do this in remembrance of Him. And at the same time, we pray that You'd help us to give thanks for each other, put to death any unthankful attitudes, any thoughtlessness or outright offenses, to forgive from the heart while we stand praying, and to live in such a way with each other that our brethren may give thanks because of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Moore.